Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
Thank you.
Soul Tree Radio and the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Rose Ingram, DJ Honeycomb, and my brother Patrick Ferrar was telling me, rest up, brother. You got a lot of stuff to deal with tonight. And he wasn't kidding. Well, first to principles, Soul Tree Radio and the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASMusic.com. Yeah, the assassins of the black athletes Christmas is take care of who, what, when, where, why, and sometimes how. Every day, always now. Go to www.basnnewsroom.com for more good shit. And that is saying, this has been one of those nights where you get a little bit here, a little bit there, and by the time you sit down to the table, you got a whole pot already cooked and ready to serve. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network and our little sister, Rhonda, who is doing well. Sis, you know we love you. We always want the best for you. And Hot Cup Posse is always at your beck and call. Never forget that. Having said that, we need a little bit of everybody tonight because there's some issues that you would think, but shit, it makes sense. Leave it alone. And there's some other issues that are like, bro, they went and did it. And we're going to why they went and did it. Now, y'all know for years, they've been talking about how sports, pro sports, and the corporate world are intertwined, you know. Now, there may be better perks, but essentially, the same bullshit that goes on in the corporate world affects athletes as well. And the same methodology is used as well. You know, you can be not the best person, just the one that was accepted. You can be somebody who goes along with the program. You can be somebody who is second cousins, whatever, with the owner. The bottom line is, there's different needs for you. You guys, that 6 month athlete, touchdown plays, never wears well. In this case, expand beyond that. We're just not the best man playing, but the best person has the ability to motivate players and coach. Plus mental ideas that would help accelerate the success of the team overall. But there's always that but. That but usually leaves us in trouble. I have my line mates here, Teddy McClain and Gary Norris Gray. Fellas, what up, man?
What up, man?
Oh, yeah. Story out of Cleveland. Former Cleveland Browns coach Hugh Jackson said Wednesday on SportsCenter that the team had a 4-year plan that incentivized losing during the first 2 years, which led to his 1-31 record during the 16-17 campaign. Jackson added that bonus money was available if certain measurables were not met, such as aggregate rankings, being the youngest team, and having so many drafts. Mm-hmm. Teams that win are not just the youngest teams. Not that the youngest teams can't win, he stated. Jackson also stated that owner Jimmy Haslam that he wasn't interested in bonus money, and he said he wanted that money to use to improve the team. Also, he also basically said that he's willing to – he has proof, and he's willing to give it to Coach Flores in the process of his lawsuit.
My God. Well, I tell you, walk away for a moment. And look what the fuck happens. Now, I also want to make a special dedication. My name is Michael Lewis Ingram, Michael Lewis Chanticleer Ingram, actually, and I'm a graduate from an HBCU called Hunter College, located in New York City. My daughter Deborah is also a graduate from the same school. My friend Tony McClain is a graduate of Southern Connecticut University, an HBCU located in Connecticut.
As much as I wish, they're not an HBCU per se.
I know that, but today they're going to be. My brother Gary knows Jay. today my brother Gary Norris Gray is an HBCU graduate. He's graduated from Southern Illinois University. Yes, indeed. Now, I do have an HBCU graduate in my family, and that is my niece Tamika.
Oh.
Yes. So she graduated from Union. She has a degree. Now, the reason we're doing this is the obvious. These motherfuckers came up here and tried to do some big dastardly shit and terrorize black schools. And always, of course, in February, because it was Black History Month. What the fuck are y'all afraid to learn? Well, we already know what. The whole point is, this shit reminds me of the Jaws movie when the little motherfucker was riding around with a pointed pin on his board, and then he wakes up, or he gets up in the water. He's swimming up, opens his eyes, and he's got guns and shit pointed at him. And in physical white mode, he says, it was his idea. So that's what essentially this prank is. These motherfuckers that threaten to blow places up. A bunch of little scumbags. And they may have some ability to get in and out. They're being contacted or pinpointed. But the bottom line is they think this is okay to do. In the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about shut the fuck up, man. When somebody says something that just pretty much wraps things up and lets you walk away. This is akin to our brother Pat Freeman when he says, facts kill bullshit. You all know that. And what's killing all of this is that they're allowing us to fester during the month where it would be important to understand contributions to our community, from our community, and therefore. But we have to face this up. Now, I meant to call the professor. I'm sure we'll hear from him later to see what's up. But when you do this kind of shit, all it does is make you realize how jealous they are. Because in spite of everything, I mean everything that's been done to black people, what does my man say in the movie? You are still here. And you can't fuck with that, no matter what you say or do. Now we know, go ahead. Now I consider myself one of those. There's so much energy I have to fuck with because you would think you would never deal with this anymore. But as long as you're here, as long as you trade ground as a black person, some way or another, you've got to deal with this. And we will continue to deal with this like everybody else in our generations prior to have. Now, I can't tell you anything about the South. I was born down there. I can't say much about it. I came up here when I was a baby. Thanks, bro. But what I can say is that no matter where you north, south, east, or west, you connect with being black one way or another. And my country brothers, A. L. Reggie, Professor Fred, they're good men, potentially great men. Because they understand where the pendulum of history is swinging. So, in addition to the other crap that we got to deal with today, Let me just start right on with this. First being Miami's ass. Yeah. Everybody knows who Coach Flores is. It was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. You were counting Coach Flores as potential coach of the year. And the NFL award thing isn't running up, so it's going to be curious to see what they do when they decide who wins the award. Flores, who started off in bad shape, managed to right the ship to 1-7 and go 8-1 and put his team in a position to almost get in the playoffs. From out of nothing to something. That's not somebody who would dismiss a team. That's not somebody who would give up on a team. That is somebody who makes adjustments and continues to play well in spite of whatever back office transgressions there were. We find out that there were some. And because of it, Mr. Flores came out and dropped down. And just as Brother McLean spoke of with Cleveland, they were trying to pay him off to be a loss leader. What do I mean by a loss leader? All right. All y'all who love records like I do, remember the day when the record stores have stuff out and you see some records with cuts on the side of the album? They had been already rent off as losses, and they were going to sell them at a cheaper price. And every now and then you found a good one in there, but the whole point was, what were we going to do with them? Then we're going to take them back into the production. They weren't going to redistribute them back in the plant. They had to sell them. So they would sell these albums that were $3.99 for $1.99. And you think for $1.99, I mean, for some good. And that's what happened. Miami is trying to do similar to what Cleveland was doing. And on top of this, they were trying to do things similar to what was done in a Las Vegas situation. Now, the Chicago Cubs have been labeled as lovable losers for eons. But people came to watch the Cubs lose and lose and lose some more. Until eventually one day they started winning. It didn't change the aspect, though, because they were still spending money on the Cubs. You're paying for something that, even though it's an inferior product, you want to buy it because you don't even know. It's fucking you into believing that the thing you can buy has some value. And there were similar things apparently done in Cleveland. Sonny, how say you on that?
Well, to me, it's, you know, how many other things have happened in regards to black coaches where there was this incentive to lose? Because see, look, here's the thing. We already know the NFL is the one league where there really is no incentive to win. I've said it before. I'll say it again. You know. Before a down is going to be played for the 2022 season,
right?
The TV money, the season ticket holders money, and the season ticket money is already going to be in the kitty. If they don't play one game, they still have all of that. So it makes It makes you want to, it makes you think that how many other teams as a whole, or especially coaches, with black coaches there, where there was an incentive not to be better and also to lose so they could justify firing said coach. I mean, end of the day, what this, what these revelations, I guess if you want to call them that, they're sort of reinforcing what we've always sort of thought in the back of our minds in regards
right.
to how the NFL, you know, looks at black coaches. Now, of course, already we've had a couple of assistants, one Deuce Staley, and I forget who the other person was, but they've already said, oh, no, that kind of thing, that that doesn't happen. We had good interviews.
Right.
And again, no surprise. You know, Malcolm Malcolm said years ago, when you bring up truth, they're always going to be able to find another black male or black female to refute everything. Because look, everything is going to play out very predictably. You know, now that the revelations have come out, now there's the outrage and whatever. So now they're gonna basically scandalize Brian Flores' name. He is going to be the Kirk Blood / Colin Kaepernick of the league. That's the unfortunate thing, because he's probably never going to coach in this league again.
No.
But see, therein lies the problem, because instead of taking that look at themselves, they're going to spend, especially over the next few weeks, trying to literally, they're going to be Leslie Nielsen and the Naked Gun. Nothing to see here. Meanwhile, you know, Olympus is burning in the background. And, you know, you will hear stories in regards to what I can see. But the thing to me that's very interesting here is the three prominent teams mentioned in the suit. The New York Giants, who's never had an African American head coach.
Yep.
I can already hear some people say, well, they've had black coaches, they've never had a black head coach.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And we talked about this 2 weeks ago in regards to they're not going to hire him. They may bring him in for the interview to do the whole Rooney Rule thing. But let's put it this way. So, not to go too long, but, the Rooney Rule, all the Rooney Rule in their eyes is affirmative action, in a sense. That's just how it's looked upon. It's just, make sure we get the interview so we don't whatever, and we just gonna hire who we want to hire anyway. But to me, I see that Ron Rivera basically has said he's gone on record saying he should get a job, Flores should still get a job, but this is one time where the players have to step up. There needs to be, that entire Miami Dolphin roster should basically be enough. And it's ridiculous. It's absolutely all. This needs to be addressed.
I got Radio Reggie in the mix as well.
What I would love to see on Media Day, we're not talking. I'm talking every player on the Bengals and Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking. Talk to somebody else. That's our,
If they got the balls to do it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. They need to be put on blast.
Hey, Chief, can you think of one person I don't even think Odell Beckham Jr. said anything. And shout out to Gary. Gary, much love for you. You've been calling for the boycott, Gary, just like you called for the Washington, what is it, Admirals or Cadavers, whatever their name is now.
The Ensigns, I believe they're the Washington Ensigns, I believe they're called.
or the prop or the Buck Prophets. But anyway, Gary, shout out to you. You've been saying we need to boycott the NFL, and I'm with you, Gary. Because, like I said, guys don't have the balls to boycott.
We knew this years ago what the problem was.
Yep.
We have 32 teams. 32 teams. 32 white owners.
Well, and actually, 31 white owner and one foreigner.
Do not want to share the wealth.
No,
they don't want to share the power. So here we are, 2022. Now, mind you, back in 20 years ago, when the rule came out, we had three black coaches. How many we got today? One.
Yeah, they don't even consider
one.
Robert Sala black. Yeah, Gary, you were saying. Oh, well, look at it this way. Again, my friend, my brother Reggie, is an HBCU student. This is one of those old neighborhood things. See,
mm-hmm.
He can be from one school and I can be from another. It's like, I can say what I want about Reggie, but don't you say nothing about Reggie.
Yeah. As me
and
then
you got a problem with both of us. Mm-hmm.
You know, the professor get it, bit me, but he had my back mm-hmm. always with HBCUs.
And see,
right.
This is what this is about. Every HBCU, whether you became a student or graduate or what, you make that connection for us because you are at the forefront of that most simple of premises. And that happens to be we need someone to tell our own stories.
Amen.
So my country cousin from North Carolina.
I'm gonna be really, really real here now.
Right.
When Colin Kaepernick did his thing 7 years ago.
Yeah.
I told people this is just the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
People thought I was crazy. The white supremacy is always trying to do bad things.
That's right. It is.
Now here we are 20 years later.
Uh-huh.
And
it's just like Tony always says. It's like
yep,
Tony always says. We must remain diligent. And
but boy, they were going Gabriel did his thing.
Yep.
The ratings dropped 20%.
Colin Kaepernick,
when the women got behind it, the women said
he had no. Kaepernick had no true knowledge of what was what, and had nothing to do with him being mixed. It was the fact that there was a mindset taking over, and he got swept up in it. He wasn't ahead of it. He just realized, oh shit, look what I stumbled up on, and that's why.
Yeah.
And taking the time to talk about how everybody and the HBCU pedigree matters. Those of us
but Mike,
them.
Real quick, not to interrupt you, Mike, but I find it interesting. I'm going back to what Gary said about telling us on history. NBC.com
mm-hmm.
and also the U.S. News talked about how six juveniles are persons of interest. And the bomb threat to six HBCUs. Now, yeah, where did they get that mindset from? If they're juveniles, where did they get that mindset from?
That's what I'm talking about.
The concept you would be looking out for in this and in other situations is, and it's scary because Reggie's right, but you know you gotta look at the whole picture, okay?
Uh-huh.
Because there's also, I mean, everybody's making a big deal of the five or six juveniles because they don't know how many years are real.
Yeah.
And since this is this last movement, shall we say, has been going on for a month because
okay.
it started back early last month. So
okay.
as you know, as young people were getting ready to go back to school and you know, and schools were opening up and whatnot.
Yep.
You had you had situations where they started getting, I think, like five or six here, and there is no real pattern, and there have actually been more than 20 reports of bumps. You hear about Howard that's the vice president's alma mater, in several other situations, kind of look. But you know, you got them out there bugging a little school like Rush College down in Alabama. You got
right.
Harry Stowe in Missouri. I mean, you know, early on, about half of the schools that they were threatening, most people wouldn't know where they were. And now, you know, Tougaloo. If you don't know, if you're not up on basketball, you don't know that Tougaloo is in the top two or three school ADIA schools in the nation. You know, again, Harrison, Edward Waters, you know, that's in Florida. You know, Florida. When we think about Bethune-Cookman and FAMU, Edward Waters, you see, and this is where I look back and dig a little deeper and you say, okay, there have been there's some sign of neo-Nazis and some other thing like that. I would be more prone to believe that than these kids. Although kids,
Brent, when you have a leader of the free world speaking nonsense for 4 years, what do you be grabbing? I mean, it's about to happen.
Well, Gary, I'm agreeing with you. To a point. The point I'm trying to make is, okay, what did Reggie say? Where did these children get this mindset from? And see, these children they may or may not pay that much attention to the gentleman we had in the White House at the time, but there are these knuckleheads out there who have been and still are paying close attention to, I mean, it's hard to believe they're paying attention to what he says. For simple reason that so much of what he's saying is wrong is not a blatant lie, and because of that, you know, they want to be seen as right, but the kind of stuff they put the kind of vibes they're putting out in the atmosphere are all wrong.
But okay. This is the thing. I was growing up. My mom and dad told me A, B, Z, this is right. D, E, F, this is wrong. I better not get you to anything.
I know my business.
And you had a community, you had a whole community that watched you.
But see, Gary, you old. You came up with ABC, NBC, and CBS. And if you were in the right place and had cable, you had the channel. What was it called? It's not even relevant anymore. But you know, you had that station out of Ted Turner's station. And maybe one or two independent stations that broadcast. And remember, you couldn't be up watching TV past 12:30 because
Johnny
Carson.
Anyway. Yeah.
Johnny Carson went off during the week. The next thing you heard was Star Spangled Banner. He saw that B-52 flying over the Rocky Mountains. And when it chilled and went off to the west, your TV went off. You had that was your favorite form of snow. When the TV went off at 12:30, 12:31 or 2, everything went dead. And it didn't come back on at 6 o'clock in the morning.
True.
You know, and you can lay in your bed and pick up every channel really in the world.
That's true.
If you got a smartphone,
be your receiver.
And, I'm glad my kids came up when they did, and it was bad enough as it was, just having a cell phone, not to mention, but you know, I spoke to this group today, and I tell a Southern lady, I say, hey, I got more power in my smartphone than I had in my first three computers.
Yeah,
it has more memory. It had all kinds of capabilities because I had to fill out some paperwork yesterday. And I don't know if you all have, I work with a lot of people that use PDFs, and it was an incorrect address. And so I just put it up, double-clicked on it a couple of times, typed it, erased the wrong answer, the wrong address, put the right one in, saved it, and kept on trucking. Now, remember, if you know what PDFs are, you know that was permanent. You couldn't change it. Can you?
The reason I'm saying this and the reason I'm bringing this up is because Professor Fred here, as an archivist and a proud Ram, has been holding things up for us, providing us with information. And this is to recognize all HBCUs. We don't care whether you came from or not, whether you graduated from them or not, but a threat against one is a threat against all. And that's the mindset that you had when you had your brother, when you were backing him up. And that mindset should never deviate. It should never change. Because we're all we got to put in mind.
Well, Mike, something we need to look at.
Yes, sir.
This is Black/Negro History Month. You know, okay, let's look at our story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our brother who went to Ohio State, but I actually personally knew. Was friends with the first black guy that was a star at Ohio State, Big Deal Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he went to Ohio State. He was born in either Alabama or Mississippi, in Mississippi. But his dad and mom moved him and his brother. His brother went to Iowa. Anyway, they moved from Mississippi, part of the early Great Migration. Into up north to Columbus, Ohio, and he went to Ohio State. And, you know, the point is simply this. The black school is this, the HBCU is this or that. Well, remember, just like so many others, who got PhDs from Yale. You remember W.B. Du Bois? Yale, yep. his Yale PhD? Well, guess what? They wouldn't hire him. You know, Dr. Bell could not get a job at a white school until he was late 40s, early 50s.
There you go.
That's how he ended up at Claflin. He was first he was an assistant at Howard. He left there and went to Claflin for a couple of years. He left Claflin, went to FAMU, started what we now know as Florida football there, went to the military, coached at Tuskegee during the war, left there, went to A&T for several years and started rebuilding their program.
Mm-hmm.
And people like him, everybody want to talk about how great those white schools were. Yeah, because they were better than a lot of schools in the South, because in the South they wouldn't even provide school for blacks. They would pay for blacks to go to school out of state. That's how they did separate but equal. They would pay for them to go, and then there were some people who went to Harvard because that was, well, you know, Harvard's hard. No, it's Harvard, as this Dr. Burns' brother used to say, Harvard was just another school. All I cared about is I wanted them crackers to pay the most that they could have to pay, because that was the most expensive school I could find. He said, I could have gone to any school. He, you know, they would have even accepted Howard, because they didn't care as long as you didn't try to go to Ole Miss and even the white schools. That was the only thing they cared about, is get out of town. And if you go out of town, if you get out of Dodge, you ain't coming back, because you can find out it's so, you know, the grass is so much green out there, you can stay there. They went back to Mississippi. I mean, they started getting their house set on fire and all kinds of stuff. But they got the Harvard education. Both of them, both of them were involved in law.
Yep.
And they ended up with other businesses. But see, even when we got educated at these white schools, we still ended up coming back and coaching, and because, you know, that's why when this thing with Dion came out, what did I say? This ain't nothing new. We've been having stars come back, or stars to show up who had gone to all the coaches.
My dad told me back in 1943-44, when he came back from the war, he went to A&T. He went to A&T.
Gary, back then, what did your father major in?
Economics.
Okay,
yeah.
Back then, A&T was one of the premier schools, because, see, a lot of schools, okay, in North Carolina, A&T was one of the better schools for economics, because it was really heavy into science and engineering.
Yeah.
And when you put those kind of people into the same room with the economists, because remember, for North Carolina, that was the spot to go to learn about home economics, to learn about farming and other entrepreneurial things. That's why they're so good at that kind of stuff. Because, see, this is we don't even know what we had because we look at it as those little colored schools. But – in North Carolina, the five HBCUs in the UNC system, North Carolina Cooper was a liberal arts school. You could kind of go almost any way you wanted to there. But Elizabeth City, Fayetteville State, and Winston-Salem State were teachers' colleges. They produced most of the
students. Yeah, my auntie went there.
Went where?
Elizabeth City.
And see, she was almost in Norfolk, at Norfolk State.
Yeah.
Because that's only like 25, 30 miles away. But see, my point is simply this. HBCUs are such a proud part, you know, are such a major part of what makes us great even today. And even though the majority of us still go, all the younger people want to go to these various white schools, okay, let's go back and look at the data. What does the data say? Most of the important training for blacks is still at HBCU, because a lot of the ones who go to white schools, they, to be nice about it, and I got a couple of them in my family, they get an education at one of those high schools, I mean, they will take some of them. We had to prove to one, okay, here you are talking about your great education that you got at UNC. You went to UNC and went through all that craziness. What are you doing? You're a teacher. This is not a bad thing, because we got a bunch of teachers in the family. Problem is, most of them went to Winston-Salem State or to A&T or to Central. And when it came time to go to graduate school, most of them went to Central, although now they could go to Fayetteville State or Winston-Salem because we have the graduate programs. Because, see, when they initiated our when I was in school, they started initiating the graduate programs at Winston-Salem State through Appalachian State. Appalachian was a white teacher's college. And it's only like 65 miles away, but still, they put them in charge of our graduate school, even though people wouldn't go to there because they were up in the mountains. And heck, this time of year, if it rains, you can't go to class because hey, you might be hey, you be coming down the mountain all right.
But more importantly, they said these schools existed so we could exist. And those who excelled in those schools helped us excel. Now, the mere threat that somebody can get away with their whiteness by saying, I didn't know or he made me do it, it's not juvenile. It's very believable. Because we've seen whiteness tested to the nth degree. We've seen afflictions such as affluenza come up and add to a laundry list of bullshit excuses for things that grant them a pass. And Reggie, are you there?
Yes, sir. Go ahead,
Hello, Reggie. Yeah, Gary.
No, go ahead, Gary. Yeah, go ahead, Gary. Go ahead, Gary.
You have a young, intelligent black coach. He knows what he wants. He knows how to run a team.
Yeah.
He has an owner who doesn't give a rat's ass.
Yeah, but Gary.
This coach wanted a quarterback for his style of play. What does the owner say? I don't care. I'm picking somebody else.
Gary,
I'm the boss.
What
here.
Makes you?
So you
what
you
makes you think? Hold on.
That is so that drove me crazy. You can't
Gary, why would you be surprised at that? It's not the first time. We know how many times people make the connection that this is a plantation. It's not a plantation. It's a blackboard jungle. And if you can't do what they want you to do, they say goodbye with you. If you're a player, if you ain't Super Nigga, you gone.
Thing I got to bring to the table, if I may, and Professor can help me with this. Okay, if you got some young people, I'm giving a favorite example. A young man named Mose Malone, the ancestor. He came from a very impoverished area. Matter of fact, one of the coaches had the audacity to bring a steak to the house and try to lure his family by embarrassing them, and the mama cussed him out. But I'm just saying, you have other people who are impoverished, not everybody, that these guys come in like Suitcase Eddie Sutton. Well, a FedEx package bust open $20,000 in cash. Now, I'm just saying again, now we got players in college, but fess up with this, that they're like with the young quarterback from Alabama. He's supposed to, made $1 million his first year, playing ball with sponsorship. You got sponsorship and likeness with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and others didn't even have an opportunity. Can you help me, Professor?
Well, It's finally a new day when it comes to that kind of thing, but now that with the new regulations, it's still the NCAA for right now at least. I think something's going to hit the fan shortly, and once that happens. It's gonna get real juicy, because when you get the Fab Five bumping up against the NCAA, and NCAA at some point is gonna step on itself and get hung up, and they're gonna say, okay, they're gonna say, okay, we don't need you. You don't sponsor. You know, think about it. You don't sponsor none of your championships as it is. We do, or we either us or the and we outside entities run your championships for you. The only championships you run is Division One, Division Two, Division Three, and then NAI is a totally one and two is a totally separate entity anyway. And remember, it was these schools, these Fab Five schools, are the ones that rescued the NCAA in the first place. Because I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, as I was going through some information, every time you saw the championships for, okay, you go back and look at the champion who played, say, Kentucky State in 77 to 72, or just look at all, look at, in Tennessee State, 57, 58, and 59. In the pool of 32 teams, are schools that will blow your mind who are now Division One, One AA, but back then they were NAIA. So when you hear people talking about, well, the NAIA wasn't no good, who you think they, you know, who did you think they were? It was these same people who are now talking about how, you know, we're Division One. Yeah, you are today. But were you always that? Nope. And not only were you not always that, you can take the cream of the now Division One and mid-majors. All of them schools were NAIA schools. The NCAA only had like 50-some schools.
In 1973-74, there were zero female Division I schools. I didn't say two. Zero. They were all
Let me slightly correct you. When it comes to females, the NAIA was more accepting of women than the NCAA, which ain't saying much. But they, remember, the women formed the AIAW. All of them,
right,
for the first few years, they were all one division. Eventually,
right,
they separated the larger schools from the smaller schools. But in that mix, you had Vivian Stringer with the the women were also called the Wolves at Cheney State. And the Firebirds at Federal City, they was kicking behind. Cause, and like I think I mentioned before, to a young man who's at UDC now, which Federal City became part of UDC. And one thing I was telling this young man, I said, anybody who questioned how good Federal City was, Federal City almost won a national championship, and they were the only black school in the 73-74 tournament, hopefully none of you ladies are listening right now, but they got screwed. Because the game I saw on TV, it was pathetic the way the game was called. Matter of fact, it was like some game on the other night where this guy got knocked cold smooth out in front of two referees, and neither one of them called a foul.
Well, the reason why I brought it up is because that was a date.
Louisiana Tech.
Right. The first powerhouses of the AIAW.
Yeah. Matter of fact, even as late as 78, when Vivian Stringer was in the running for the championship.
Yes.
One of the teams he played was NC State.
That's true.
NC, at the time, NC State was one of the few ACC. NC State and Maryland were the premier schools in the ACC. Claflin College, as late as the late 70s, beat University of South Carolina and Clemson. But guess how it appears in their media guides exhibition.
Okay. But
I guess also,
since when do you charge for a women's exhibition game?
Right. Well, and during the ACC in the Pac-12 switched to Division 1. The female basketball division. All three of the major conferences went to Division 1.
Well, not just that, Gary. You gotta look at the whole picture. They not only they lost their last. Well, it was obviously going to lose their last appeal in 79-80. So they set a mechanism in place so that all those schools that were all those quote unquote renegade schools. Remember, if you're talking about UNC, you're talking about NC State, you're talking about Duke, or any other white schools. Remember, you had an athletic director. Okay, they had this thing. They developed this thing they called the women's. It's like a women's supervisor. She was not an AD.
But they
changed her title to women's AD, which brought them under the arm of the Central Olympic, the Central Athletic of the department. Like in my case, Ms. Scales took over, and she was still working for Big House Games. Now, he was more liberal than most people imagine. The big thing he would always say, okay, because he told Jolie, okay, you want a team? Go find a coach. She went and found a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go get this. And he made them, he put it on them to get it done. Now, any help they needed, they got. But he put it on them. But see, white schools, that's what they were told. As a matter of fact, a lot of black schools were ahead of the curve because they were playing each other 72, 73.
I appreciate all that, but what the premise I want to get back to is why? Why are these motherfuckers trying to start some dick dastardly shit by making a bomb threat? Now,
because they get Michael.
Wait, Michael, I'm gonna tell you
why, right?
Go ahead.
America is still feeling guilty about their past. They love black music. They love black food. They love black dress. But
they hate black people.
They hate black people. I'm telling you that right now.
That's true.
And Michael, take it a step further. All they do is what they've been doing all along. They ain't been liking you. They tolerate you. They ain't been, how did Michael Jordan, who is from Wilmington, North Carolina, which he lived out from Wilmington because Lincoln was outside of the city limits. Well, the city proper is still in King County. But my point is this. On PBS, right, for this month, one of the things they're showing is a documentary about the insurrection in Wilmington.
Okay.
That's the town that Michael Jordan is from. Now, how he gets this holier-than-thou thing he got with white people, I don't know. But, that's him. because my family's from the same area, and we ain't like that. But having said that, again, all we're doing, all we're seeing here is another form of the same sack of bullshit that we've been listening to and hearing for the last God knows how long with these same stupid white people who think just because they put a different title on it, it's different. It ain't. Fart still stinks, so it's still a fart, okay?
Mm-hmm. I don't deny
I'm trying to remember that I do speak to kids.
No, but you're right. But what I am frustrated at is that, like, they know there was a methodology behind doing this. Whether it was a prank like the kids in the movie or whether it was really deemed to do some damage and affect something that they did not go after it with the same fervor that they would if that was closer to home.
Mike, I think there's no doubt in my mind that these are white kids doing this.
I agree.
The old trick in the book is going to be they're going to just say, they're going to try to, you know, insinuate that it's black folks. And white folks, and unfortunately other black folks, will buy into that. Because, is it any coincidence that they did that it started right on February 1st?
Mm-hmm.
It's like when Trump decided to go to Tulsa on the actual anniversary of the Tulsa riots.
Yeah.
That was not done in the vaccine. Everybody wants to think that this is done in a vacuum, and that's bullshit. See, that's how white supremacy works. You know, when Dylann Roof went to, you know, that particular church in South Carolina, it wasn't by coincidence. Things aren't done by coincidence. It's a damn history. And to see these folks have been doing this for years. It's nothing
but
it's calculated. It's calculated. And see, it's not just the Trump thing either, because, you know, look, Biden's no angel either. You know, it's a white supremacist thing more than anything. And see, it just feels more emboldened to do it. But if you're not paying attention, you just think that, why is this happening? Whatever. You know, I don't try to come off as, you know, the smartest person in the room, but all you got to do is look at your history and see this is that's the reason why this is going on.
I'll make a point one more time again. If we as African Americans say, okay, we are not gonna buy any other products, any other commercials that are associated with NFL games, if I see 7A, I'm not buying 7A. If I see Coca-Cola, I'm not buying Coca-Cola. I'm writing the company telling them what I'm doing. America responds to money. And even to the pocketbook, I guarantee you, that will change.
That's why we have the Washington Commandos today, basically.
I understand where you're coming from on that, but be very, 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 very careful how you express that, for the simple reason is that no matter which way we turn, we bumping into white folks. And not all the ones that are, quote, unquote, on your side. And because of that, you end up with, if you end up with that scenario that we broached years ago, I'm just sitting here thinking, how long I've been talking to people. Now, I don't know how much longer I can do this. But anyway,
Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King on my side, and yeah, Malcolm on the other side. Martin Luther King said, "We're gonna do this peacefully. We're gonna do walk peacefully." Malcolm said, "Oh, I ain't doing that way." Now, what happened?
They killed them both.
Martin Luther King gets shot.
They killed them both.
Malcolm gets shot. What's the difference?
But see, what I'm getting at is this, Gary. When we take time just to look at this whole picture that we're dealing with, one of the things that we were talking about back during the time that Trump was running against Mrs. Clinton, one thing we talked about then was she had a key to the country club. And because of that, we have to be cognizant of the fact that no matter who we think we're dealing with, deep down, we're still dealing with the same bunch of crackers.
Yep.
Some of whom may be friendlier than others towards us. But you know, as you look at the whole picture, one of the things you will always see is you got. And my dad used to say, boy, they some good ones, and they some ain't good ones. You gotta stick around them long enough to find out who's who and work from there.
Yeah, who's who, which is which. That's right. And don't matter where. All that stuff.
No, and see, you know, here in our state, we have to deal with this gentleman who is our lieutenant governor.
Uh-huh.
He could actually be convincing and telling you that ain't no problem.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to the one of the historians from Fayetteville State today, and she, unlike most of the ones on their staff out there, she's not only an HBCU graduate, she's a Fayetteville State graduate and worked all the way through to her. She has a doctorate now. And, you know, from time to time, I speak to her and her group and that kind of thing. And they don't know how to take me because you're a Republican. I say, yeah. So are my parents. Well, how can you say they were? Because I'm in North Carolina, Democrat Party was set up like a country club. And if you were not a member and you weren't recommended by a member, you couldn't get in. And they actually went out and found the legal precedents for that in most of the South, social something or other down in Mississippi. But you had all these things, quote unquote, set up by the good Christian folks, of course. And they by design made it so that you could not advance yourself politically because you have to be rich to begin with to even come close to getting into any of this kind of stuff. And so, you know, they would take, because I know Dr. Quick is a member of the Republican Party, you know, the Democrat Party here, but Dr. Quick was the only head doctor in almost 50 miles. In any direction. So he even had white people who would come to him because that's how good he was. And on a good day he could pass. And you know, it's like the same thing with Charles Chestnut. Charles Chestnut could pass.
But you see, it's not as simple as just being good. If it was, there wouldn't be no problem. If we focus back on what Flores was going to do, he has 2 years of games showing that he's very good at what he does. He's able to take his and maybe beat you, and sometimes even take your and beat him. Now, when you got a talent like that,
You should be in demand.
Right, but Mike, quick, I got a question. Now, some people are trying to say if the Houston Texans offer him a job, he should take it. And supposedly he's in the running for, I think, the Houston job and maybe the Jacksonville job or the Saints job. In your opinion, do you think if the opportunity comes, should he take it, providing they're going to try to make him drop this lawsuit?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to get the job.
It's a personal choice.
I don't think you're going to get the job. I think, because see, that stuff didn't surface until the suit came out. Now all of a sudden,
yeah,
you're a candidate for three jobs? Bullshit.
I saw Leslie got the job at Jacksonville.
I thought the guy from Tampa Bay got the job at Jacksonville. No one has hired anybody yet. Wait a minute, did Harbaugh get the Minnesota job? Not yet. The only coaches that were hired were Denver, the Giants,
right.
Raiders, and who am I forgetting? But all the other, but the five other openings are still open, and
mm-hmm.
you know, all of it is just speculation. Yes, but you know, yes, Leftwich is the quote unquote lead candidate, but again, it's just mm-hmm. bullshit till it happens. And see, this is the point. See, the thing is, they can talk up this guy's going to be the candidate and this guy, until there is something in writing, it's all bullshit.
Don't mean a thing. That's right.
Which is the essence of what Flores is talking about. If you talk it up enough and then say, well, they did interview this guy and they brought this guy, it doesn't, you know, fucking thing until someone gets hired, and that's the and therein lies the suit. Therein lies the suit.
Yeah.
Well. Okay. You all know where my heart is when it comes to NFL and all that kind of nonsense. But is it me, or do we? There's some of these teams who are so set on hiring a quote unquote white coach. Aren't they firing this guy 2-3 years down range? And then there's
Doesn't matter. See, there's no incentive for them to win. They get the TV money, they get the season ticket holders money, they get the merchandising money. And hey, look, I'm answering your question. All you got to do is look at the hiring practices.
That wasn't my next question. My next question was going to be, so in essence, now that the Washington team supposedly has a name, whatever it is, you know, their merchandise is going to go through the roof.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
In fact,
yeah.
We're going to the stratosphere.
Yeah.
Having said that, they could hire Donald Trump, and which means he would make more than he would make as a
president. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure where you're going with this in regards to the hiring.
No. I'm saying, but the basis of what I'm saying is they could put any idiot in there as a coach, as long
well,
as he put a team.
Washington's already got their established coach Rivera. What's your point?
No, I'm talking about the money. They're gonna get a butthole full of money off of this new naming thing.
Uh-huh.
And so it don't matter to them who they put in as coach. That's my point.
Well, I basically just said that.
No matter how they work that, still design to say, okay, they decide what the name is, They decided where the revenue streams are going to be. Now it's just a matter of counting. Because all they're going to do is chalk that up all through post-Super Bowl and the Combine and everything else. They're going to put Washington merchandise out there on Front Street. And they're going to say, come and get it, come and get it. But really, it's been got. As soon as they unveiled their name, people were already buying stuff. So that tells you how fucked up the market is and how greedy some of these people can be. We got Patrick Ferrand and Nick Patrick in years.
Gentlemen, how wide is he?
Doing good, doing good.
Hey, Patrick, I got to ask the billion-dollar question. Is Hugh Jackson got a contract out on him? And I ain't talking about the one that somebody write from Cleveland.
he got a bulletproof vest on him, but he's in Louisiana, so, you know.
He better be in witness protection, man, with them gangsters in Cleveland, bro.
But, you know,
come on, Patrick, give us a juice, man. Give us the truth.
He ain't far wrong. You know why? I tell you why. Because, you know, folk killed the Browns on the way they lost. But if you look at the teams were constructed, you know, they were playing, Browns are drafting guys who in the first and fourth rounds should be in the fifth and seventh rounds. All right? And guys with a whole bunch of guys who were free agents who weren't bad players, but they couldn't constantly compete. How do you know? Because they played three quarters of a game, but never could close. If you got players that can play and compete, you can always close. So I'm not surprised at what I heard. Also, I'm not surprised in regard to how the business model that they used to make money and to sustain themselves, particularly after building himself up to get Johnny Manziel, who paid for all the new construction for the building, and they realized he couldn't play, and they knew that.
Mm.
So they know they had to make a change. They had to, because considering that guy from the Dallas Cowboys, who's the president of the Dallas Cowboys, who helped back that change in terms of financial direction. So after that debacle, said we got to win because folks in Cleveland were pissed that they were losing. Because what they thought they were getting was they thought they were getting Tyler Murray and Johnny Manziel, and what they got was a mirage. So now they got to find a way to make some money. So what they did, Hugh Jackson come in, knowing that you could have limitations with that squad, and you took the hit for everybody. And now, you know, they fired him, and on his way out, you told him to get the fuck out of his office when he left. But the result was the team they got now. So now folks getting all new. Oh, that could never happen. Really? I told you last week how it's done. Relationships. I've been in the front office of teams. I've seen guys get, I'm telling you, it happens whether it's football, baseball, basketball. These guys hire folk within their circles and come up in the circles or get people invited in their circles to get who they want. Here's a classic case, and I'll take you guys take them now. Remember a guy named Adam Hayes? How the hell can he lose a team like that and 3 months later get a job? He wasn't in the circle, but who invited him in the circle? A guy named Peyton Manning. The rest is
history. Hey, but real quick, Flores with his lawsuit, do you think it's going to get legs, or do you think they're going to settle out of court?
You know, NFL won't settle out of court because they make their own money. It's an embarrassment for the league. Leading up to the Super Bowl, something's going to happen. I was talking to someone earlier this evening. They say Flores be blackballed. That's the last thing they want to do is blackball Flores. Somebody's going to get him a job. Maybe not head coach. Somebody's going to get him a job because they don't want this.
The sad thing though is that's their modus operandi. They never, you know, they instead of they don't even do it if they get shamed into doing it. Because they begrudgingly talk to the – this is where a time where the players need to, you know, show some support for this guy. I mean, every player on that Miami roster should be like, you know, needs a back end. And media, you know, Super Bowl media day, players shouldn't show up, and the teams just take the hit for players not showing up to let them know, because this is you know, this is not something that can be that they should be able to walk away from again.
Oh, hey, no, they ain't. No, and see, two things happened. First of all, it was the boldness and the courage of Flores and his lawyers. And secondly, the timing of it, guys. It's Super Bowl week. We should be talking
Absolutely.
About who's betting. And that's another thing that you have to watch out for. We're talking about money. The fact that Flores told what he said and what that did to the owners of the league. Let me tell you something. Let's put it this way. Let's say Fred, and I know he wouldn't, put $1,000 on a game on the Carolina Panthers, all right? Which I know he wouldn't. But if he did, all right, they played the Miami Dolphins and they lost. And the back of Fred's mind, wait a minute. If this guy still lost that money, what, you know, something's wrong. I got to call FanDuel or DraftKings to do something about it or get my money back. What's FanDuel's executive doing? They didn't call Roger Goodell, and they're going to make these owners say, look here, you better get this stuff straight quick, because it's going to not only mess up the brand, it's going to mess up the credibility of what we do and all the money we done gave y'all. I'm telling you, that's how they doing it.
Well, just so you all know, no, I wouldn't do that. But my question
is, I know that.
I understand. Okay, I don't understand how Flores with. I think I understand he won. He was doing okay with Miami, but the aforementioned team that you just mentioned and trying to blame on me, they ain't won. And you know, they ain't won since this guy been there. And you see. You should see how nonchalant he is on his show. And when they were talking about, well, you know, because Cam, they showed Cam's little soundbite, well, I'm not coming back to go I'm not coming back for anything less than going for the championship. And he was also in this process, he was also letting know, if I ain't going to be the starter, I ain't going to come back either. Now, look who they just paid big money for a contract extension to be the guy from the Jets, who, as Michael would say, he was nothing with the Jets. He was nothing as he moved to his next venue, Charlotte, North Carolina. And the time they did the best during the year was during the time when he was out hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the one that he's the one that has been blessed with the team for next year.
Mm-hmm.
So all we've been on point about this whole thing about most teams don't care about winning because it's a wash. The money's already guaranteed. So it's like my Social Security check. As long as the country lasts. Hey, four wins a night every month, I'm good.
If you just see the guy from the
head coach for Carolina, he don't look to be worried one iota. It's almost like he got some nudie pictures of the owner or his wife. Either way you want to look at it, this man is secure because and the only thing I can say about him is that will make him secure, if he don't have none of them pictures, is he white.
But see, it's more than that. We forget there's always the rest of the story. And in Miami, the beginning of the story started with Jeff Ireland asking players if their mamas was hoes. Now, we know it's an inappropriate question, and we know it's an inappropriate act. But if you've got that kind of animus in your organization, you're never going to succeed because you know you need the brothers to win.
So we're not surprised at that. The fact that Flores came in there believing he could carve his own niche is a surprise, because these are conservative cats. When he found out so-and-so got the Giants job, that was old money speaking. It had nothing to do with no young, bright, whatever guy was. Bottom line, they went and got one of theirs, or so they thought was one of theirs. Ultimately, that formula will never change. Flores can be the Kaepernick of coaches in the midst of all this if this lingers, but I don't think he wants that. And in a way, no way he cannot do well out of this, because he's embarrassed the league. They got
Let me tell you the basis of Flores' suit. All right?
Yes, sir.
The lawsuit points out that one of 32 teams, all right, 3%. That's one black head coach. Four NFL 32 teams are employed black offensive coordinators. All right?
True.
Only 11 of the 32 teams employ a defensive coordinator. Only three of the NFL teams employ a black quarterback coach. Only 16 of the 32 teams employ a black general manager. That there is ground for some problems.
He broke it down. Yeah, he broke it, you know. That's he broke it down.
That sounds like
he broke it the hell down, man.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to spend some money for that, and I'm saying, even if they want a black ball, he's going to make so much money. He'd be like Kaepernick, you're going to kiss my ass, because I'm sitting for three lifetimes.
Yeah, that's truth. That's irrefutable. The numbers show it, and his argument will buttress it. There's no way they can't get out of this without egg on their face and a big hole.
They don't care about the egg.
And what basically what they want to do is get through the Super Bowl. They wish Super Bowl was tomorrow. They wish the game was tomorrow. But they got to deal with the longer it's out, the more they got to deal with. They want to get folks in next week to think about the game, the game. But once the game over, the rally is going to come in.
This is one time where they wish they could have gotten rid of that extra week, because
that's true.
But the bad thing here is that it also gives them time to scandalize his name, because they've already basically tried to do that. A couple of assistants have already said, hey, we didn't go through all that. But see, again, this is nothing new. Malcolm used to say all the time, when I'm up here talking about truth, you can always find a couple of black men or black women that's going to try to refute what I said. And see, they're going to spend so much time trying to, you know, he's going to get the Ross Perot treatment, in the sense of they're going to try to make him out to be a fool. I wouldn't be surprised if some white woman comes along and they, he rapes her. I hate to, but they're going to, that's how far they're going to go with this. They're going to muddy up the waters. They're going to, it's going to be so much of the whole thing for them is to get it off the headlines. Now, their network, NFL Network, has basically ignored the story. This is one of the few times where the mouse actually did some work, but it's more of fanning the flames than anything else. It's not like they woke up. It's not like they woke up with a Walter Cronkite gene this week. They're just riding the, it's the flavor of the week sort of thing. Now, what they would love to be able to do is to, by the time next week comes along, that isn't a non-story. So I'll just give everybody a little homework lesson. Between tonight
and Sunday night, when usually both teams have already arrived in a Super Bowl land or whatever. Although I know they may push it to Monday as well. But
right.
You watch about where, how the league and their lackeys are going to push this story.
Mm-hmm.
Watch. Because again, like you said, Patrick, it's not about trying to settle this out of court or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They want to scandalize his name,
mm-hmm.
make him out to be you know, a nephew of Boo Boo the Fool,
mm-hmm.
and just get it off the thing. But you know, let's put it this way. And I know I sound like a broken record, but see, this is one time where
you're right.
The players have to show some backbone here, because they have to look at this as this way. If you're a player in the league and you want to make football your career, if you want to coach in the league down the road,
mm-hmm.
they're basically telling you, you know, once you're done, you're done. We don't need you.
That's right.
We'll get somebody that, in a reverse Bill Cosby, we'll get somebody that doesn't look like you. To whatever. And therein lies the essence of this whole thing. They would rather spend and overspend to scandalize Flores' name than to actually have a come to Jesus moment and say, because see, first of all, and I don't know, if I would junk the Rooney Rule because they've already found a way to circumvent it. So
we just need to sit in the side so they don't use it.
It needs to mm-hmm. be abolished yesterday.
Yeah.
Because all it's you know, once they, you know, put it this way, it's like with anything. Once the criminal element finds a way to circumvent it, it becomes obsolete. And now there will be folks that will say, well, you can't get rid of it because they implemented it. The one team that implemented it has the only black coach. Bullshit.
And Tony, let me say this, Tony. When Bill Belichick made that statement that I think you got the job, and then 24 hours later, oh, I fucked up, he said,
he fucked
right
up.
There.
That's right.
Sure.
Yeah, he fucked up.
And you know what? You know what? I think that's probably the truest statement Belichick's had in his whole career.
That's true.
Because he knows Flores. You know, now he's coached with both of them, but
10 years.
I'm pretty sure he thought, oh, this is great. Brian's going to get the job in New York.
Yep.
And he come to find out, oh, it ain't that Brian. You know.
Nope. That's right. Listen, you got to remember, from a position standpoint, if a running back literally has 3.5 years to have a career,
mm-hmm.
that's essentially one contract plus. If you
mm-hmm.
play well enough, if you stay healthy enough, you get two. Exactly. So all the tension, all the stress is minimized and cramped into those 3.5 years, that's a hell of a notion. You can go from being first-team All-Pro to third-string backup. And as soon as it says, hut, because they don't care. They're filling space. And that's
mm-hmm.
the point that Flores is making with what's going on here. They're just making space. We know they want black coaches. Eric Bieniemy, you can't tell me if he's not angry at Flores, thinking, well, shit, he might be fucking up my shit, man. Or Leftwich, thinking something similar. They know that there's limited spaces, and they know that there's limited organizations that will accept them for what they are. There's a reason Mike Tomlin is the only black coach. One, because he's winning. Two, because he's black. But three, because he's the only one. And that's why Terry Bradshaw is in an ass or say stupid shit about him being a cheerleader instead of saying, this is a man who can really coach. They don't want anybody to know that. But
and Mike,
you see it.
And Mike, in terms of the enemy and Leftwich, I think they're in a great position now. But you know something? I see right where I am. I let it simmer and see how it plays out before I make if I'm being in, I ain't looking at it right now. Oh no. Unless you got to pay for me to sign, I got a contract, I'm staying right where I am. Because stuff is going to be shuffling, and I want to be in the middle of it. I don't want to be the next guy. I don't want to be the next guy to interview with a team, and I know you picked me just because the heat's on, make him look good. No.
How much longer you think the old man gonna coach?
That's right.
That could be the main reason why he's still hanging out.
Yeah, because
we ain't no spring chicken.
Mm-hmm. And just to fan it even more. Who's to say that Arians hangs out now that Giselle's husband just finally is going to sit down.
And know something else? What Bienemy, like Fred said, Andy Reid might not want to be there longer. You know, Mahomes is going to have a word on who the next coach is. So if Mahomes say, I want Arians coach, you think Lamar Huntman say, I'm paying you about $500 million to play? Oh, he going to be the coach.
Mm-hmm. Come on. That's real. Yeah. And that's exactly what they're talking about.
But again, with all of that being said, all the more reason why some of these guys need to look. I get it. You know, I'm not going to tell you how you should make your money, and I'm not going to whatever. But,
right.
You know, it's to me, it's sort of like the Clippers a few years back. Don't give me no symbolic bullshit. Show some balls. Show some balls.
Yeah.
Guys, look. Do you know what the model of what we're saying is? Look what the WNBA woman did.
Yeah.
I'm still doing.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick, think of how that whole Atlanta situation played.
Mm-hmm.
That never would have. There's no way that would have played out in the same way in the NFL. Hell, even in the NBA or Major League Baseball for that matter.
Mm-hmm. And before we leave, I'm gonna tell you something about the NBA. But go on.
There's
something that need to be looked at. Now, I covered Becky Hammond. I interviewed a couple of times. She's a very, very nice woman. A very good player. And she did well with the Spurs. She got her foot.
Yeah.
And they were doing everything they could to try to make a head coach, but didn't work out. So she went over to Las Vegas team. Is going to be the coach there. Now, she's going to make about $1.4
million. Yeah, she's going to make a couple plays.
But the players said, wait a minute. We ain't mad at Becky, but the top players in WNBA don't make but $250. And she gets $1.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
What people don't know is that the salary cap in the league is that the coaches can make whatever. Don't have to worry about the salary cap.
Yeah.
Players.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
now,
right. The coach is signing a personal services contract.
There you go. Now,
the NBA almost just washes their hands of the WNBA because, you know, the thing people forget was that those early years, all the teams basically, they weren't owned by their NBA brethren, but the whole thing was, it was sort of a, dare I say it, a gentleman's, or I guess in this case, women's agreement. that you were going to be benefactor-wise. But what was it? I guess literally after or just before St-
he let it so that non-NBA folks could own, could be the owners and of the majority of teams, which is why you know Becky Hammon basically is making a mill because I don't even think I don't have the data at all, but safe to say that none of the coaches in the WNBA was making seven figures.
Nope. And Tony, here's a real deal numbers wise. The WNBA and in terms of running the league is about $25.6 million. All right? $25.6 million. Okay. The NBA has $2.6 billion. Okay.
Jesus.
So with that amount of money, I'm saying to myself, let's see. I think it's all about maybe 10, 15, 20, 100 million dollars toward the NBA and WNBA.
Hello.
So the players can pay more money, but they ain't gonna do that. But know something else they ain't doing? They ain't gonna get rid of it either, because the heat that they don't want the heat by they don't want the heat of not conforming WNBA. Because you think the thing in Atlanta was bad? Lord have mercy! You don't ever want that to happen. So it just shows you that play inequity.
And I know the minute it comes out of my mouth, I'm gonna sound like a fool again. But I just wish one year they would play alongside with the NBA. And I understand why they have to do it, play during the traditional time of the NBA. But and I know it has a lot to do with arena availability and all that other stuff.
Right.
Hell, I'll even know it. I'll even give up bitching about putting the team in Knoxville if you play during traditional basketball time. Because I think that's what, you know, to me, I think that puts them over the hump because then you just take it old school like you did back in the day where you have WNBA, NBA doubleheaders. You don't have to reinvent the wheel here.
T-Mac. You possibly own something. Let me throw this in, because that whole thing about availability, that's nothing. Saturday before last in the snow here in Raleigh, North Carolina, the Wolfpack played at noon and the Hurricane played at 6. Ice floor down. Floor up, ice.
Mm-hmm.
Ice moved out. Ready to rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
5.5 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it can be done. And remember, with the NBA and WNBA, it would be like playing in Charlotte, maybe, where you use the same floor.
Tell us, Charlotte, if you switch the men's and the women's teams, you might the Hornets may actually win some more games.
Some years ago, back in the 90s, when Fayetteville State's women's team was better than their men's team, they switched the games around and let the girls play at 7 o'clock. The guys played at 5. It made the coach go recruiting. But it worked.
They did. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if they did that at UT for the Lady Vols as opposed to the Volunteers.
Gentlemen, I hate to be devil's advocate. I can hear the TV executive saying, "Now, wait a minute, that's nice, but you know what makes us the most money for women's sports doing from January to March? Women's college basketball. They're going to have to fight that price now. It's already going to happen with this new league they have called the Athletic League that's going to be for women's basketball. It starts for about 3 weeks. They're going to find that out. Women's college basketball. Yeah, start. Women's college basketball brings in money to that NCAA bubble that gets bigger. That's going to be
absolutely. Now, what is it, like 8 teams? They're just trying to feel out process. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Okay.
And to be quite honest, I've actually watched more women's tournament games than men's tournament games over the past few years. Now, I will, because of where I'm at.
I was going to say that. I'll lose something to it.
Oh, hey.
You know it does.
I can't lie. It's like Pavlov's dog here. We used to watching women's matches more than men's here. But it's not just here, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just here. Matter of fact, you see what Dawn's doing down in Columbia. And you
yes,
see,
Lord.
Like, with the Pac-12. With the Pac-12. And,
yes,
you know, as quiet as it's been kept, to be honest with you, Big Ten women's basketball is almost 2-3 times better than the men's,
Well,
is Auburn still the number one team in men's basketball right now?
Yes, they are.
As sure as you can say, Nikisha Sales, women's basketball is moving up the charts.
And women don't play Matador defense.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
And know something? They shoot better too.
Yes, they do.
Actually, they do.
Put it this way.
Now, what are y'all talking about the Lakers right there for? Leave the Lakers alone. How bad? Just leave the Lakers alone, please.
But see, the only thing that the women's game doesn't have is the above the rim play. But you know what?
That's it.
I don't need the above the rim. Slam dunk, okay. I'm not gonna turn them off because it's but I'm not gonna not watch if I don't see it.
On that issue right there. Back in the day, you had certain people who played in the paint. Some guys they drove on, and some guys they didn't. Remember?
Yep.
Now,
true
certain
that.
Ones, a la Bill Russell and a few others.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't drive on them. You didn't drive on Wes Unseld. Now, granted, I was going so far as to say he could outjump me. But there were Nate Thurman and a couple of other guys. You didn't drive.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, what do they do? You actually guys run off the court to get out of the way when certain ones come in the game.
I'll go back to what I always said. The Euro step, it has to be a Euro step because you've got to go around the damn world to get to the
bottom.
but Patrick, my man Tyler Oakley new book where he talked about how he can't stand the round bound that be on TV all the time, Mr. Big Mouth with TNT, how he slapped his ass. And then he went after Patrick Ewing and said Patrick could not carry a team. Now, I think Charles Hooten not getting no birthday cards for Patrick Ewing or Charles Barkley. What do you think?
Oh, he get one. He better not open it.
Everybody can talk stuff instead of getting in front of their face. That's right. And Patrick got that look. I've been around Patrick. He got that look to say something stupid. He going to let him have it. So that's why, if you see it too far, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But don't get in his face. I'm telling you.
Patrick, what did Mike Tyson say? Everybody got a plan so they get busted in the mouth.
That's right. And you know what?
Wait.
You know what? Patrick is that dude. He is that dude. I've dealt poker parties with these guys, and the two that you want to mess with was Mason and Ewing. Mason had
a
big poker face, God bless him.
Mike, and the third one, who's just got a book out that's been forwarded by Michael Jordan, a guy named Charles Oakley.
Oakley went after Patrick Ewing, though. He said that's why they couldn't win championships because we couldn't get
that. Yeah, that, you know, I mean, I'm trying to figure out, is he trying to sell a book, or is this, you know, or is this some penis envy on his part? I don't know.
Listen, everybody, you know what, when everybody knows about a player, when everybody knows about a player, there was a back page of the Daily News,
mm-hmm.
and it was a picture of Oakley, and all it said was the mighty Oak. And that paper sold out like hotcakes. Charles Oakley is for real. The fans loved him. He played hard all the time. He played for real all the time. When he was upstart to the stupid ass owner, everybody was in Oakley's corner.
Yeah.
It was just ridiculous.
The owners in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. he got rich here that he didn't want to come down. They bought Charles Oakley coming down in Vegas to the casino. The owner of the Knicks was there and scared that he'd get his shit beat out of him.
And
the man told Oakley, you should have called me. How did my team got in?
If they were smart, they'd have put the damn fight on the script and charge pay-per-view. But, you know.
I know so much about Oakley. He's an astute businessman.
Oh, yes, he is.
He's a good tipper at the poker table. I just got to throw that in there.
And he's been on top. He's on the Food Network. The brother can cook. Brother can cook now. I can tell you that. Every union homecoming, he has the biggest tent, and Negroes are lined up to get in and get that food, boy. Free grub, Negroes.
Mike, I want to throw something else at you, man. That's going on. That's underneath the radar.
Yeah.
There's a committee, I know, Reg, you got the CAA with Hampton coming into that, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
How it's going.
Yeah.
But
I was
going to
bring that up.
What connected with that, the NC2AA has formed a committee.
Uh-oh.
It's called the Division Transformative Committee. Now, the committee.
I hate it already.
Here's what's happening. Here's what's happening. Now, they're going to try to rework the 400-page rule book.
You got to be shitting me.
Now, the committee.
When was that book invented?
There's a better opportunity to rewrite the Old Testament than to rewrite that.
Well, or
the Constitution. The Old Testament ain't got as many pages.
Thank you. Well, it's an operation that it's going to be a facelift for the NC2A. But the whole backing is this, guys. It's the major power conferences to the smaller conferences, how the new NRL money is going to be passed out.
Surprise.
They might as well jump over the last 10 pages and count the money.
Yep. And what you
do not for me. Two for you and one two for me. Three for you.
That's what it is. That's what the hell this is going.
Them's the books now. You've seen the books now. Give me the books back. You've seen the books, man.
They're going to get some of them old baseball execs that used to cook the books before the 94 strike.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be some legislative decisions on the new NIL money because of the fact that the major schools are making so much money on the new RLs. They say, well, so much money got to be spread down to the smaller school. I see some of the equity and some of that. I understand some of that. But you don't get the chunk they're going to get. So they're going to this committee's happening right now. That's under the radar. But you'll be hearing from them real soon.
I can hear some of the conversations. $525 for toilet paper?
Yeah, no shit.
I got a better one than that. Clothing allowance. Patrick, you see them boys going to get the free clothes, man? Oh, my God, man.
Here's what happened to Grambling. What happened to Grambling this week, as a matter of fact.
Saw that.
You see that piece? Everybody's going to get a piece of something. That's where it should be.
But how shipping, how they're going to do is a different thing.
And see, the thing is, and it's not just the football thing. It's for all of their
athletes. Yes.
I agree.
Patrick,
the $1 million question, Patrick, is the female athlete with the Title IX. Now, what program is going to get cut? So you know they're going to bring up that Title IX. They always pull that rabbit out their ass.
How is life disseminated? The biggest ones get the biggest cut. Those get
that's right.
You know, eat two of the sandwiches. Those who get
right, right.
Guys, that's what it is.
But in theory, it is what it's supposed to be. You make your money for school. You do well for school. If the school makes money on tournaments, et cetera, you get a percentage of that. That all factors in. When you graduate.
Yeah. Somebody mentioned Tennessee earlier.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine is a University of Tennessee graduate. And when she was in school there, Pat Summitt was coach.
The Lady Vols was like
Connecticut of their day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't get to the arena early, you might not get in.
The guys,
you just showed up.
Mm-hmm.
But with the young ladies, they would recommend, because she talked about how she had to go to a women's basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was joking around, but she didn't know. When I was in school there, Coach Summitt, it was before Houston became her last year there. Houston became the men's coach.
Yep.
So she went to school with his son. But man, you know, because see, this is one thing I've tried to get across to some of our presidents and chancellors when it comes to HBCUs. No, we probably will never get on the level of some of those schools like that. But, you know, even my own alma mater, you can't get there with a 6,000 student body in a gym that holds, 3,000?
They do
this lottery thing now because kids are lined up. They played today, I think. And, you know, they line up at 4 o'clock. I mean, as soon as they get out of class and eat, they go get in line to go to the women's game. Mm-hmm. And only so many get in because they only allow women on one side, the students on one side, and the other side is open to partly to the other team. And then partly, as a matter of fact, a lot of other teams don't bring nobody because they know they ain't got no place to sit.
Yeah.
But we have this fan lottery thing where, like, the Thousand Horns, which are like the, they give 1,000+ a year and that kind of stuff. They get seats. But after that, the line gets short. Parents, you know, you got kids' parents do know they got to be there by a certain time or their seat going to be gone.
Hey, Patrick, the brother used to coach Connecticut, the basketball coach, and he won that lawsuit. And I see quiet about
it. Oh,
you mean my new daddy?
I was going to see if you in what I got to
you. This way, like this way. She must keep the state of adoption papers at all times.
The tough thing is they don't answer they don't return my calls. That's the most embarrassing.
I wonder why. Went past the age limit.
I told them up front. I don't have no more eligibility left. You can take as far as I'm concerned.
Gentlemen,
we
have some unfinished business to address, and now I have to throw this into the pot. Now, you know, I am not one for hyperbole.
Oh, no, no.
Mike, is your blood pressure medicine kicking in? Is something going on, bro? I know you're a little woozy earlier today, bro.
Mike, I know hyperbole, and she ain't all that.
And that's what the makeup on. And that's what makeup on.
We have the next item up for bids, and we preface this by saying that Jerry Jones is trying to work on Tom Brady. One more season. One more season. How much do you think that contract will be worth? Let us find out more.
Mike, I'm gonna be like Prince in that Family Guy episode. I'm gonna bid a dollar.
$1.
I know that used to be Reggie's team, so I'm gonna be as polite as I can possibly.
Go right ahead.
If I can remember correctly, I watched part of about two or three Dallas games this year, and one of the things that I noticed both was, and you got, it's comic relief.
Damn, I agree with you, Professor. It is.
To me, that's a bad. Tom Brady's a bad pick for one simple reason. See, with the quarterback that Dallas had, he's like 1-2-3 run. 1-2-3 run.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tom Brady is 1-2-3-4. I can't run. It's not going to fit. It's going to be a bad fit all around.
Think how desperate Jerry Jones is just to even consider
the
possibility of Brady running this team.
I think there's a better chance of them bringing in Frank Serpico. I mean Aaron Rodgers
Tony, he got a better chance of that happen of Ivana Trump divorcing Kushner and marrying Flavor Flav.
Now y'all know Fred Flavor Flav is the most romantic man in America. So,
Is that with or without his teeth in his mouth? Which is without his teeth?
I don't want to, that's an image that I don't want to see. Matter of fact, Jerry
with no teeth in his mouth. Look like a gremlin. It ain't a good sight. Lord, have mercy. That's an ugly Negro boy. I know he's black, but damn, that's, to quote Red Fox, damn, that's an ugly woman. Damn, it's ugly. Woo!
I don't want to say he's ugly, but Shabba Ranking went to Twitter and said that much.
Oh, my God. That's
that was you back in more history than I do.
Oh, God. Kuku Monique said somebody get that brother a wall, man.
Mike, here's a better bet, Mike. Better back is when do Dallas Cowboy fans start saying we're gonna win the Super Bowl next year?
Is Mike Irvin still doing crack cocaine? I know what he's passing. Hey, Patrick, would somebody tell Mike Irvin get off the pipe?
For real,
Mike Irvin, man, he's the biggest clown ever. Man. Talk about a buffoon.
Like you're gonna be the first person to tell him to get off the pipe. Don't you know who he is?
Every time I see white powder, I see Michael Irvin on the ground. I'm like, Mike, that's baby powder. I'm sorry. I had flashbacks. I'm sorry.
The views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the management, but they're probably true.
Although, I'm going to stress.
Patrick, it's amazing. You had Stephen A. Smith on there. And then Marvin Lewis. And Stephen A. Smith had the dash to interview Marvin Lewis after he sabotaged his man's career. Somebody, he should never be head coach again. And then Marvin Lewis checked his ass, saying, you know, the words you say are very hurtful. And but yet, mm-hmm. it's the same Stephen A. Smith that cries about Allen Iverson and Bubba Chuck is not on the Philadelphia 76ers squad. Come on, man. Every time you open your mouth, man, you stabbing a black athlete or coach in the back.
They will know him for the snake that he is.
I know that's your man, Professor, but I'm sorry, man. Stephen A, man, he did some stuff.
That's my point guard,
Terrell Owens.
I'll take snakes for 1,000, please. And I got to say, you know, it's one thing when you have street cred. You know who you are, you know where you came from, and you're able to be successful that way. But Carol Johnson lost her motherfucking mind. And Carol Johnson, if I case you don't know her, her name is Whoopi Goldberg.
Karen.
Karen lost her bunny rabbit naked mind. You cannot. In New York City, and I speak as one born and raised there, you cannot say anything about the Jews in New York. Nothing.
Hello.
Because even if it's right, they don't want to hear it. We know that.
Whoopi Goldberg on line two. Whoopi Goldberg on line two.
Mike, isn't she Jewish?
She thought she was. There you go again, T. Bring the facts out, T. There you go again. Well, I told you about that. How dare you, T?
I'm a gentleman friend. I'm a gentleman friend who was an entertainer. And he's been doing this a long time. He was so entertaining that way back in the early part of his career, he was offered a chance to become Jewish. He wanted to make him a Jew to soft pedal anything he had to deal with ahead of him. He thought it was ridiculous. He said, I'm a black man. I'm not doing it. And he didn't do it. And his career suffered for it. But that's what they're doing. Now, I don't know what was on her mind when they said, you can become a Jew. We will call you Whoopi Goldberg. You'll be great. Well, mm-hmm. There's an old saying, the nicer the nice, the higher the price. Because they don't worry about getting you. They know they're going to get you. It's a matter of when they get you.
I got to say, Whoopi reading the book about mice, huh? That's all I got to say. She must be reading the book about mice.
Let me tell you something. First of all, the original Jews is black as and darker. But they don't.
There you go, Pastor.
Can't do that. Okay.
Bring the facts back. How dare you? The second part of it, Mike, is this.
She thought she was a Jewish person in New York, and she ain't.
Plus the fact, Patrick, she didn't have the obligatory car accident and she lost one of her eyes. So that's one right there.
I mean, become an artificial person of that part of the world. It's funny how when you go over there, they don't look like that part of the world.
Now, there you go again, Patrick. Now, they're going to bar you off the show now. There you go, Patrick.
We got mine called down.
They're going to be buying the mic. They're buying you off the show.
All I got to say, I know some Colossians, I know some Demonites who got my back.
Uh-oh.
Also.
There you go.
Amen.
There you go.
Okay, Newt. I heard that. Such
good Jewish boys. I will leave it alone, and we'll go to final thoughts. I need a bit of schmear here for my knish, but for now, we shall continue. We go back to that good Jewish boy, Patrick. Patrick, say something nice now.
And in a small aside, someone fired the scoreboard operator at Wells Fargo Bank Arena for misspelling. I mean,
How do you misspell? How do you misspell Dr. J's name, man? That's a fireable offense, man.
Tony, it's a different generation, man.
Immediately. Not like Black History Month. Can't fire Dr. J. Black History Month.
Please.
Black History yet. Patrick, set it up, please.
Final comments? Final comments? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Here's a final comment for the day. Your friend and mine, and Fred, and Reg, and Tony, and yours, Mike, your friend and mine, Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo, I ain't got nothing against the guy. You know, he's a decent quarterback, and he got paid $137 million to be a decent quarterback.
I ain't mad at him.
He's the 10th highest player in the league. All right?
I ain't mad at him.
Wow.
And here's the wonderful thing about what Brian Flores is saying. Here's an example of it. He's the 10th highest player in the league, right? He played a decent season with the 49ers. Didn't do well in the playoffs, kind of down the stretch. But right now, there are five teams, including, watch this, Fred, hold up, Fred. The Steelers.
No.
The Broncos and Washington are all seeking his services.
You can't even say the price of mediocrity has gone up because he ain't even mediocre.
You're right. That's shoplifting.
What did Chad Hand tell him in the Dallas game? Don't even throw the ball. Just hand it off. Don't throw the ball.
There's enough right there. In my evening, what, Jimmy? Come on, you gonna get? Come on.
This is just a wide sweeping thing you do so you make sure you cover all the bases. When it gets down to it, I don't see him in black and gold.
Washington's black and gold now, the uniforms in general. They got black and gold.
They're commanders. They're going to be black and blue.
and by the way, Fred, you're right. The merchandise is flying off the counters right now and on off the website.
I knew people who ordered theirs for Christmas. Because this is why they said you heard them say right before Christmas they're going to announce it during the Super Bowl, during the time of the Super Bowl. Well. They their fan base, they started ordering stuff online back right after Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay, amazing.
Interesting.
It can still be like Douglas Bird High School, but it's okay.
All right. Since you started this, you better finish it. Come on, Fred, keep going.
But now, I mean, all that football stuff is cool. We got some serious stuff, man. Today it was announced that they were going to be sending 2,000 troops to Poland. Let's be limited with the numbers. First and foremost, there's probably 20,000 over there already, combat troops. And special forces people are disappearing left and right, so they're gone. And they're either going to make this guy, as they say, shit or get off the pot. White folks don't travel like that without unless they're going to fight. And we got some serious stuff to play with. Some serious stuff out there. All this football and stuff is cool, although as far as I'm concerned, it's been over a week. Matter of fact, it was over the beginning of the year, but we won't even go that far back because we had our former quarterback out. Now he's gone. We can go get somebody, and anybody but Mr. Crazy Boy. But you know, on a serious note, this thing with these schools, however how it plays out, you know, I just don't want this stuff to be stopped. I don't want these kids getting hurt. You know, we got too much positive and too much history out here with the HBCUs. So, you know, let them go down the drain, where some people would have us do that. And, you know, they're too valuable. They've been too valuable, and they're still too valuable to us because, hey, if you don't know, you know, I'm telling you now, you had HBCUs when you had nothing. I see these crazy people going bonkers over Alabama, Ole Miss, Georgia, yep. And I can remember when they wouldn't let you walk across the campus.
That's so true.
That's right. You know, just keep all that in mind.
There you go.
And I just close by saying, you know, our books are on blackheritagereview.com. I'm putting pictures in the book on HBCU basketball, men's basketball. That should be wrapped up in another week or so. And it's been really rough in certain points because a lot of these people I know and I've known for years, and, you know, you look at all the people that I grew up under, whether Big House, Coach Vaughn, Coach Mack, and some of the others. It gets really testy sometimes trying to put pictures of guys that they coached and to know that all, like the guys from the secret game, all those guys are gone now. And so many other situations out there like that. But that's going to be ready in the next few weeks. I've almost made up my mind that I'm not going to the CIAA because that crowd is weird out there now. And I've been exposed to COVID twice, so I ain't taking no more chance. I'm letting Reggie go.
I'm not going to be there either.
Fred, I want to add to you, they couldn't walk across Alabama on campus like that. Now, you can walk across the campus, but you can't study anything Black history at the school.
I'm about to
you know what?
Don't forget Missouri. Where you still don't want Black history.
I had to explain that to somebody, and they were all good until they got the facts.
That's right, but you know what? Nothing's more hypocritical to have Black men and women put in harm's way and having other people talking about welcome home and all of the old horse shit. They don't trust you. They don't want you. I'd say kiss the pinkest part of my Black ass. But please, God, keep watch over our brothers and sisters who go fight and kick ass for us and knowing that when they come home, they might get harassed just for being who they are. Now, fuck all this bullshit. Amen. I'm just tired of the nonsense. Keep them safe because... Amen. They have to waddle through all that horse shit. Near to be that.
Amen. We had a terrible shooting at Bridgewater College a couple of days ago where two officers were killed. Thing about it is my youngest daughter went to James Madison, but she attended church up there in Bridgewater and they're a small Black congregation. So I know that area very well. So it's really sad that these two individuals that were gunned down, that the perpetrator was taken in alive. And let's not forget in Dallas, where a Black individual opened fire on cops, and they used an incinerator device to seek him out and blow him to bits. It's amazing if somebody of color shoot a cop, they get judge, jury, executed right there on the spot. And this European shirtless running around crazy. They took him in. And you talk about white privilege.
With liberty and justice
for all. Yeah, I love him. And on a side note, you go back to Charles Oakley's book. He said Isaiah is the crying man he's seen in his life. He cries by not being on the team. He cries by Michael Jordan taking over Chicago. He cries. I don't know, man, but Charles Oakley's going to have a nice Christmas list, man, all the people he dogging in that book. I can't wait to get that book.
he cries more than Dick Vermeil?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Nobody cries more than Dick Vermeil.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Dick Vermeil.
You
want to
bet?
Dick Vermeil start crying and says, not enough peanut butter with his jelly.
No shit. Good luck. All right, Big G, come on in.
Well, last week we lost a legend, the queen of basketball. Lucy Harris, that was the thing.
I say.
66 years old. I saw Lucy play twice in Virginia. Lucy and my sister had classic battle center. So, as of 2022, we saw Denise E. Gray, center for in my college, and now Delta State Lucy Harris. I say, can we go Saturday at 1?
There you go. I shared Lucy
Harris.
Great player. Great information coming up Saturday afternoon with the Cove. Definitely everybody come in and get an earful. Big T, come on in.
Just to put a capper on the evening, Associated Press is reporting that the Minnesota Vikings are going to hire Rams offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell as their next head coach.
No surprise. No surprise.
I thought it was going to be on board this afternoon.
Put it this way: if Whoopi plays her cards right, she may get a WNBA job.
How about that? But this is where Eddie Kendrick sings and the beat goes on, because some shit just hasn't changed. I don't know where Florence will end up, but it will be a trip for the next couple of weeks to see who will take the bite of the apple. We already know he can coach. The other part of the question is, do they want him to coach? Having said all that, we're going to have some more fun with some more funk. We're going to make some B-Mo funk. And we have the official BASN Girls Choir to sing about what we will do Sunday nights. 9 o'clock. It's all about the funk from A to Z. And ladies, if you will.